To be a scapegoat is to take the blame for others. Does this definition fit, Nick Nurse? We'll talk about it today on Hoop Talks. Welcome back, you guys. I'm Noor Zainab, next to Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and the Raptors are back today on Monday. They actually won against the Hornets on Sunday. On Friday, they lost to Philly. We'll talk about the Raptors having a pretty big game on Sunday, how Fred VanVleet came through and set franchise records. But something else caught my eye before the game on Friday and actually took the Twitter world, the Raptors world, the Toronto world by storm. Nick Nurse was asked right before the game where his headset space is at, how we feel about the trade deadline, and he was actually pretty raw in his answers, and this is what he had to say.
I think when this season gets done, we'll evaluate everything, and even personally, like, I'm going to take a few weeks to see where I'm at, you know, like you said, where's my head at, and just see how the relationship with the organization is and everything. It's been 10 years for me now, which is a pretty good run.
This is a tight-lip organization that tries its best not to leak any dirty laundry, not talk about the locker room whatsoever. So this is kind of a pretty big thing coming from Nick Nurse. Why would he publicize that, Jelani?
I don't know, to be honest with you. Right before playoff time, I'm kind of confused, right? This is the time where you don't want any rumors, any buzz off court, right? And you don't want the locker room to be affected by anything that you say at this time of year. And from the head coach himself, I mean, now I don't know if it's going to cause any problems in terms of relationships that he has with his players or even the front office, because, you know, they might be like caught off guard by this, right? By him saying this publicly. So I am kind of confused why this was aired out right now, right? Because the season's about to finish, right? They just clinched the play-in spot. So yeah, I'm kind of confused right now. I'm not going to lie.
The more and more I think about it, the more and more it kind of, you can kind of put the pieces together to this puzzle. And you ought to realize that Nick Nurse's contract is up after next season, right? Which in coaching terms means that this is basically his last year on his contract, right? Because they're either going to extend him or they're going to move on and kind of let him go, because you never want to bring a coach in with 1 year left on their deal. They're kind of just like a lame duck and the question's just going to go through the whole season. So I think Nick Nurse is sending a message to the front office right now, like, you know what, I could go elsewhere unless you don't meet my contractual demands. You know, he is, I think, reportedly making $8 million a year as the coach of the Toronto Raptors, which is in the top 10 of NBA coaches, but he might want to, you know, get to that top five level, make a little bit more money. So is it mind games by Nick Nurse to the front office and Masai being like, hey, look, you know, I can go to Houston and coach a young team. I can go here. My services are wanted all across the NBA. So you better, you know, meet my demands, maybe, and then go from there. But also, you know, this team has fall short of expectations this year, right?
Yes.
And he's catching a lot of heat for that. And again, he might feel like I don't have the right, because we've heard him say this before. See, sometimes he feels that they don't have the right pieces to compete.
I think that they don't.
They don't, they right? Don't. And so he might see that as well. Like, you haven't given me the right pieces to compete in the Eastern Conference. So you know what? I might take a step back and want to assess my options too. So a whole lot of mind games going on with the Toronto Raptors.
It's interesting you say that he might be sending a message, because the question itself was actually asked by an international media. So the American media, it wasn't just the Toronto beat writers. It was actually ESPN asking the question. So you're wondering, is he sending a message to the rest of the league as well that, hey, I might be up for grabs a little bit. I might have some thinking to do. But so on Sunday, before the game against the Hornets, he was actually asked by Lindsey Dunn a follow-up question, because you can't say something like that and not be expected to have a little bit of retort back from the reporters. So this is what he had to say to Lindsey Dunn.
That's exactly why I made it, was to not have to answer that question every game, because I got it about 3 games in a row. So let's move on and talk about tonight and this team and this season, please. Thank you.
He said, please, thank you, Justin. Did Masai make that call?
I don't know if Masai made the call, but there definitely was a message sent of, yo, what are you doing, man? They're in the middle of a play-in. They clinched a play-in spot now, but you know, they're in the most important time of the season right now. And for him to come out and, you know, talk about his status with the franchise and stuff like that, it's not the right look. And now it's just create a firestorm of rumors, right? We've talked about Ime Udoka potentially coming to Toronto the other day. And it's not going to go anywhere now. And just, yes, it might be a bit of a pause on it until the season ends, but in a week or two, the season might be over, and then all these questions and are going to be even more rampant. Masai is going to have to talk about it. So, yes, I'm sure Masai or Bobby or somebody said to Nick Nurse, yo, you can't talk about that.
To me, this shows a little bit of dysfunction in the locker room, maybe even the front office. And we've been talking about this, I feel like, since October, where we noticed that this team maybe is just not gelling. They don't like each other. And it was interesting because, again, on Sunday when they played against the Hornets, Fred VanVleet had a massive game. He became the first Raptors player in franchise history to record 20 points and 20 dimes in the same game, became the second undrafted player in the NBA to have that stat line, and joined Wilt as the only other player to hold single game points and assists for as the record for the same franchise. And you would think, like, big day for him. He broke records for Raptors. He's also an undrafted player. It comes a lot for him, but the locker room reacted a little bit coldly from my liking.
I was thinking about open gym the whole time. Thank you.
Ready? Thank Stay you. Here real quick. Hey, this is the game ball. Come on now. Franchise record. Franchise. A lot of good point guards playing Toronto. It's a hell of a mark. Ready?
It might not seem like a lot, but gone are the times that, do you remember where Kyle Lowry used to enter when, you know, the guys are being announced before the game starts and they're all sitting there clapping each other. The vibes are there. Beloved is being called. The captions are off the charts. And now I just don't see that same camaraderie. Have they lost the locker room, John?
I don't think so. I think from that clip, you could still hear them. I think they were hyped for him. I just think they were tired. You know,
Shout out to Fred for keeping the AirPods rocked in. Yeah, he had the AirPods in.
I know. I saw that, but I think it was fine, right? I think it was a nice clap, a nice little ovation for him. But overall, yeah, this season we've been talking about how the locker room has been, and I think it's mostly because of those rumors that were earlier on in the year. Gary Trent, OG, you know, Fred, do we trade him, do we not? And now with this Nick Nurse stuff. So all year, it's been a tough year, and I think the rumors have really affected the locker room.
I think, yeah, it's reading a little bit too much into it, but again...
I feel like if this team had a better season
and the morale was higher, right, then you'd probably see more of a like more lit reaction. But look, they're 39-39.
I feel like that's a big reason for why the team isn't reacting, though, because if you lock, it's kind of the vice versa effect where they stop being friends together and that trickle on the court as opposed to not working on the court, and now they're not friends because of that afterwards. So I do wonder at some point if there's going to be a leadership change, whether that's going to be coaching, whether that'll be a core, because it definitely isn't the same team that we know it to be. And the Raptors have just kind of lost their vibes despite even getting some wins together. But they take on the Hornets again tomorrow, Celtics twice later this week. Let's see how they can do and if we can push for that 8th seed. This has been Hoop Talks.
One thing is for certain this NBA season: the Western Conference has been wild, wild, and even more wild. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Hoop Talks. Justin Pooney, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, and Noor Zainab. Guys, we're entering the final week of the NBA regular season. And we know all about the Eastern Conference because we talk about the Toronto Raptors on a daily basis. But right now, we're going to dive into the West and how wild the Western Conference has been. If we take a look at the standings in the Western Conference, my oh my, it is very close. Of course, we have Phoenix to Dallas, all separated by six and a half games. Nothing has been really set in stone. Only the top three teams have clinched a playoff berth. So, going into this final week, how do you see the Western Conference shaping out? Who's in the play-in? Who's in the playoffs? Who's out? Jelani, let's start with you.
I feel like, okay, first of all, this is crazy.
It's just
insane. Yeah, this is wild.
This is my goodness.
I think maybe a team like the Pelicans might fall out. I don't know why. I feel like they might fall out. And I'm looking at OKC. I'm not sure, do they have enough to hold on when it's all said and done. But I think right now you're looking at teams like the Los Angeles Lakers, right? And they could be a problem. If they find a way to hold on, they might get a top six. Remember, Justin said this a couple shows ago he thought they would be a top six seed. Right. If they get that, that would be a problem for, let's say, the Kings, who are new to this, right? You got a guy like LeBron James. I trust LeBron James. That's just me. And if AD will show up consistently, I mean, this is going to be an issue. So you're looking at the Lakers, but I want to talk about Dallas real quick. I'm very disappointed in the Mavericks.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they're seeing these play-in, tournament games. I don't think they're making the play-in. I don't. The way they're playing, they're not.
Now, Dallas does have the 26th ranked schedule. So they have basically the fifth easiest schedule remaining in the NBA, right? So, Noor, when I look at you, pose this question to you, is this Western Conference this year, is it bad or all the teams just so good this year? Is it more?
I think this is what happens when there's parity. And the thing with parity is you have a set number of really good players that each team has. It's no longer a point where you have so many players on one team that you can afford to have one guy go down and still kind of remain intact to put yourself above other teams in the seeding ways. But the problem now is all the talent has been dispersed throughout the first almost 8-9 teams. And if one guy goes down in those teams, it becomes very easy for teams like, as we've seen, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves, the Kings, and back in the day, the Utah Jazz kind of climb rankings there. So it leaves very little room for dysfunction and to mess up. And that's I think, is what is happening, because a lot of these teams that are struggling, in the Warriors, the Lakers, the Clippers, even the Suns, they were dealing with injuries. Mm-hmm. And that set them back. So teams like the Kings, and who are fast-tracked, who have young guys, were able to push through.
You know what's crazy to me? Four teams have 38 losses.
Wow.
Right? I think Phoenix will stick at the 4 seed. I think that's kind of the safety thing right now, that they've been playing a lot better now that Kevin Durant is back, 6-0 with Kevin Durant in the lineup. But you go to the Clippers, then the Warriors, then the Lakers, Pelicans, they're all within half a game, right? Yep. And then look at that. Minnesota's a game and a half, Oklahoma City, Dallas is still in there, right? Jelani, I think when I look at this, right, I'm really intrigued to see the matchups, how these matchups switch up. So I want to switch to the play-in tournament, right? And I want to talk about how the matchups could shake out, right? So potentially right now, as it currently stands, if the play-in started today, right, this is what the play-in matchups would look like in the Western Conference. So you would have the Thunder taking on the Wolves, which would be a great matchup, I think. It would be two young teams. You got the Lakers and Pelicans, and then the winners of that would go face Denver and then Memphis, right? So, Noor, is there a team in the play-in? That could be Dallas too, right? Mm-hmm. That could potentially go on an extended playoff run. And I'm not talking about just going to the first round. I'm talking about winning the first round, potentially going to a second round or a conference finals.
You're going to love this answer. The Lakers. I think. Wow. Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to say it. But like, if you look at the state of the other teams, right, they're good, but I just don't think they're there in terms of experience. They don't really have the guy that he can put against the greats and the Nuggets, the Suns and the Clippers as well, and the Warriors. So I think you got LeBron James. You have the asset of LeBron James. We know LeBron James to play us a whole different person. Give him a team of YMCA guys. He will make sure he can gift them as far as he can in the playoffs thing. And I think him being healthy now, and even adding guys like D'Angelo Russell, you have Malik Beasley on the perimeter, and Austin Reeves doing what he's doing right now in very amazing ways. That's a team that you need to be watching out for, especially if you're a team like the Clippers that might not have Paul George. And, you know.
Yeah, because if you're looking at the other teams, right? Minnesota, okay, they've had a tough year. The injuries to, obviously, Cat. Edwards missed some time this year. The trade with Gobert hasn't really worked out to where we thought it would. Look, Chris Finch, he's a okay coach, in my opinion.
He's average.
I think
coach.
They could be, like, the Wolves were expected to be better than this, right? So I don't trust them in a playoff setting. I just don't. Then Oklahoma City, they're young. Let's just be real, right? I don't know if they know what they're going into, right? Shay,
that could work.
That
for
could
them,
work, right? Yeah. But honestly, I think that matters, and I just don't see them making any type of run. If they meet the Nuggets or Kings or Memphis, I think they're gonna lose. Then the Pelicans, I talked about them real quick. I just don't trust them. I don't trust them for some particular reason. I don't think that they are capable of making a run. So it has to be LA. If that's how it's going to look, it has to be Los Angeles. Let's say they meet a team like the Kings. I think they could cause problems for the Kings. Memphis. Look, Memphis is a really good team. I get that. But they could push Memphis. They can. Mm-hmm. And I know the Nuggets do not want to see the Los Angeles Lakers
Jokic
because
doesn't want AD.
Jokic does not want that matchup.
And also, if you give
matchup.
LeBron the motivation of a playoff series, is he not going to take that seriously? He's going to take that like it's a challenge.
I think LeBron knows this might be his last real chance at doing something in the playoffs. So you know the Kings going to show up big. Yeah. But the other team, nobody's mentioned so far, I still have faith in the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh,
if they, if
God.
The Dallas Mavericks get into the play-in, they have two of the best scorers of all time. I think they could cause a whole lot
Are
of problems.
Are they not discussing okay. even sitting Luka and Kyrie right
well,
now?
Well, that's reported. Yes, reported. Exactly. There's still only a game. Like, look, if the Mavericks get in,
stop
watch
it,
out. Watch out.
Oh, I'm
stop.
Scared.
No, because, ooh, okay, I'm two scared. Best scorers of all time, whatever. It's a team sport.
It doesn't be. Yeah, no, those two guys can put
it's a team. The team has not showed up. The team has not showed
I
up.
I will not give up on the Mavericks until they are officially eliminated.
Your theory about Lakers seems so good right now. Fall off the Mavericks. It kind of brings
the
you
Mavericks
down.
Are a problem. The they are dramatic more than the
they
Dallas Cowboys.
There will be a problem
right?
when they get into the play-in
There's
tournament.
There's no defense in Dallas. If there's no defense in Dallas, you can't do anything.
And their offense just, well, I don't believe it.
Only a week away till the play-in tournament begins. So we will all be bearing witness to maybe another LeBron James playoff run. Or maybe the Dallas Mavericks sneaking in and making a deep playoff run as
They're
well.
Not going
this
nowhere.
Has been Hoop Talks.
We have labor peace in the National Basketball Association. This is Hoop Talks. Welcome in, everybody. This is the newest episode of Hoop Talks. I am Jelani Goodridge-Reed, along with Noor Zainab and JP, Justin Pooney. Guys, we finally have labor peace in
finally. There was no lockout.
I know. I'm just trying to add an effect. You know what I mean?
Okay.
7-year deal. Okay. The NBA and NBPA have agreed to this new deal, and there's a lot going on. Okay. Mm-hmm. With Adam Silver and the crew, but let's look at just the major points, the key points. First of all, Shams, he gave us a lot of tweets, a long series of tweets, starting with 65 games. For the the number of games played, I should say, for guys to be eligible to win major individual league awards, guys. So this is a big change, of course. This is going to be put for MVP, for Rookie of the Year, and so on and so
All
forth.
NBA and stuff like
and
that, yeah.
then, yes, as we move forward, we're also going to have this, affecting the all NBA teams as well. So with this mm-hmm. threshold being put in place, how will this affect the future of the NBA awards moving forward? Justin, I'll give it to you.
It's going to affect people's pockets too, because if you get those milestones, you now get 140% of your upper limits of your extensions, right? So for a guy like Jaylen Brown, that could be a whole lot of money. Look, I like this. 65 games is exactly what they need to do. Limit this load management garbage that's been taking over the NBA, right? I saw a tweet out there. I forget who put it out there, but basically like Steph, LeBron, Booker, Kawhi, all these, basically the entire all NBA team from this year probably would not have made the all NBA team because they have not played the required 65 games, right?
Yeah,
that to me is crazy. People, and it's for the fans too, I think, right? When you have people that save up countless amount of money to take a family of four, look at the world we live in. Inflation's a real thing right now. When you have try to take a family of four to, a Cavs Warriors game, right? And this is the only time you're going to see Steph Curry, and little Jimmy and little Timmy don't get to see Steph Curry play. Imagine the sad faces they have.
Man,
right?
Timmy, I'm sorry.
Imagine me, little Justin, going to Toronto to see LeBron James play at Scotiabank Arena, and he does not play. That hurts.
I feel bad for little Pooney.
That hurts, right? I really wanted to see LeBron play this year, but I didn't get a chance to see him play. This is exactly what they need to do. Right. Combat load management, because this affects players' status in the league and it'll affect their pockets, which means we will start seeing them play more.
Nora, how do you feel about little Pooney being upset? No, I'm joking.
I think
but how do you feel? Yeah. How do you feel about this? This 65 game threshold.
I understand the point of view where it makes sense to make sure that the people who are buying tickets, the people who are wanting to go see their favorite player, as you said, there's people that travel all across the country, the continent almost, to go and see their favorite player, and they buy hotels, they get the plane tickets, they make sure that it happens, and to go and sit and watch it with your family and be like, oh, actually LeBron's not playing, oh, actually Curry won't be there, that's kind of a bummer. But at the same time though, I do have to wonder, how will the injury factor and just being able to not play for an extended period of time that has nothing to do with you. It's not anything to do with you wanting to take the games off, knowing that your body can't handle it, but it's just the actual injury that's been sidelining you, which we've seen happen this season to LeBron, to Curry, to Giannis, to Embiid, to everybody.
Right.
So I think if you set a precedent like that, I feel like I can confidently say you probably won't see a guy like Embiid win MVP. You might not see Kawhi win MVP because right. It comes down to how much can you maintain your body throughout the 65 games.
Yeah,
can
I think
the best ability is available.
That's true. I think you're going to watch, MVP races between Kevon Looney and Mikal Bridges.
I was just going to say, yeah.
They're the only ones that play 82 games.
Exactly.
Stop.
But I think that it's
65 games. They can still miss 17 games.
I'm just wondering for the future, like, imagine if there's a guy that plays only like 63 games, right? But you know he's the MVP.
Exactly.
Like I wonder what's going to happen with that. But let's move forward though. Let's move forward through this CBA. So we have these systems put in place now with the NBA. And there's one I don't like. The mid-season tournament. Okay, so let's look at this tweet here from Shams. It says, prize money for the championship team of the NBA's in-season tournament beginning in 23-24 season, 500 grand per player, sources tell The Athletic and Stadium. So, I've been somebody that does not like the mid-season tournament at all, right?
Oh, the mid.
Yeah, I think it's mid. I really do. But I think that it's going to change the league. I don't know if it will be for the good or not, but let's give you some just key points. So pool play games will be put in the regular season schedule starting in November, and then 8 teams advance to a single elimination tournament in December, and then a final four in a neutral site. So Noor, do you like this? Like, do you think this will make guys want to, like, is this an added incentive?
I get what they're trying to do is the NBA is trying to market their league in the best ways possible to create those tournaments, which gets more eyes just beyond the regular season games. But start with what you already have. Fix the All-Star game. We don't need something like this because you're noticing that the eyes aren't where the eyes should be, which is your biggest event is the All-Star game in the middle of the NBA regular season. No one watches. No one's invested. The players don't even want to show up. So is that not where you should be starting and not making it more difficult and more complicated for other people around the league? So I am not a fan whatsoever.
Do you think this will affect legacies? I was going to ask you that.
Legacies.
Because, like, what if somebody wins four of these in-season tournaments?
No, it doesn't matter. But look, there's a couple things that are intriguing to me.
What's intriguing?
So they have the 8 teams advancing to a single elimination tournament in December.
Yeah.
Right? So does that mean that NBA Christmas Day is not going to change now and it's going to have this stupid tournament ruining my NBA Christmas Day?
I think it'll be around Christmas Day. I don't think it will be played on.
The other thing is this. Adam Silver is so smart. They said neutral site, but Las Vegas is in prompt discussions to host it, which basically means Las Vegas is going to get it, which also means that Las Vegas is going to get an NBA
team
shortly.
Well, we know that.
We knew that already. The midseason tournament, who cares? I don't care about it, right? It doesn't mean anything. It's a glorified Champions League, right? At least the Champions League's with the best teams in Europe, right? The FA Cup is with other teams in England, right?
Right.
This makes no sense. It's the same teams just playing in a different format. This makes no sense, right? Had they inquired or incorporated teams from around the world, like the Real Madrids in Spain or, in Turkey or whatever,
shout
right?
out Australia as well.
Australia, right? The JBA or whatever.
The 36ers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? Why didn't they incorporate something like that? I don't need to see the same teams playing at each other for a tournament that you get 500K where these guys don't really need the 500K.
I don't want a glorified Michael Jordan cup, okay, in the middle of the season.
They're
going to
name the LeBron James trophy for the winner of this.
Whoever wins will be called the regular season team anyway.
Like, to me, it's another, I know we have something else with the investments in the teams, right? That's another thing in the CBA. But for me, as an NBA fan, I do not give a damn about a mid-season tournament in December, okay? This doesn't do anything for me. This is a new NBA. This is not my NBA. That's all I know. It's not my NBA. But thank you for watching Hoop Talks today. We will see you next time.
It's very CNN.